think we can all say the same thing. Why? Somebody like us, who am I? My. Who am I that he would do that for? Amazes me. Amazes me. All right. Well, we can't beat the Lord. We just can't beat the Lord. All right, Harvest Sunday. Been a big day, Harvest Sunday. We're going to give you some thoughts tonight. I don't want you to think that harvest time is over. We got harvest days coming, and never did know anybody that got all their stuff done one day. Right, you know, we got a lot of harvesting to do. You get ready to harvest. When you put up hay, you don't just go out there and it falls in the barn. You gotta fertilize it and lime it. Then you gotta cut it. Then you gotta let it set a little bit. Then you gotta rake it. Then you bale it. Then you gotta haul it in. There's a lot to harvest. So we're not gonna be done in just a few hours in one day. We got a lot of work to do for harvest days. Right now, that's named that way for a reason. We got Harvest Sunday. We wanted to have a special push today. Then Harvest Days is not just three nights. All right, it's for a while. All right, and we're gonna try to give you some thoughts tonight to see just how far you're willing to go. It might be the easiest way to put it. It's gonna be how far you're willing, not as a church, but as an individual, how far you're going to be willing to go yourself. All right? We're going to have Riley back tonight. And I'm glad for the change that's taking place in Riley and answers to prayer. You understand, I hope you're encouraged. You know that Jim White's 76 years old, the man that we baptized this morning. Y'all, I don't know where y'all realize that. He's 76. He'll be 77 in 2 weeks. You realize that don't happen very often. You know, he saved here just a while back. And just want you to be encouraged. Some of the people we're praying for is not kids. They're up in years. And don't be discouraged because it's happening. You understand what the difference between a little sinner and a young sinner and an old sinner is? Nothing. There's no difference. There's no difference. I think the Bible says, for there is no difference. You know what it says? That's still in there, ain't it? I think it might be in Romans somewhere. There is no difference. And can I tell you, there's no difference. All right, so be encouraged. Let's pray together. Father, I come tonight, and Lord, if there's going to be anything done this evening, it'll be what you do. It ain't going to be what I do or anybody else. It's going to have to be what you do. And it's not even just what you do through us. It's just going to have to be you that does it, Lord, because we're not able tonight. We're not. I know J-Rod and the girls was not able to sing. They couldn't have done it without you. Lord, Clark couldn't have led the singing. Cheryl Ann couldn't have played the piano without you. And Trista couldn't have played. Lord, I can't stand here in front of these people without you. I can't do it. If it's just me, Lord, you know I'm an introvert. I wouldn't talk to nobody. And Lord, only through you I'm able to do anything. Lord, I ask you to help me tonight. Cleanse me. Search me out. I do want to be more like you. I don't act like it, do I? But I do, Lord. I want to be more like you. Help me tonight. Give me power to preach. And may you speak in our heart in a special way this evening. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. When we think of the Harvest Sunday, I don't think of just harvest. I think of the souls, the seriousness of the souls. The seriousness of people coming to Christ. The seriousness of Christianity. Y'all understand that I'm disappointed because I wanted everybody that got a paper to be here today. I really did. I wanted them all. That's how come I wanted them handed out. I prayed for all. I didn't pray for one little green paper. I prayed for all the green papers. I prayed for all the other tracts that was given out. I prayed for the Bibles that was given away and the New Testaments were given away and for all the phone calls that was made and all the text messages that was made and all the advertisements on Facebook that was made. I want to see people come to Christ. I was looking again today and just encouraged Greg and Maria that the 3,700 school-age kids in Nicholas County, 3,700 school-age kids in Nicholas County. That's what Google says. All right. One said 3,499. The other said 3,699. So then the other one said 37. So anyway, 37 school-age kids in Nicholas County. 24,001 people is the last census for the population of Nicholas County. 24,000 people. People. Not a bunch, but people. Individual people. Families. Moms, dads, sons, daughters, grandchildren, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, neighbors. 24,001 just in Nicholas County. We're responsible for everywhere we go. We're responsible for everyone we speak to. You understand that. We're not responsible. I told you before, I'll tell you again, don't be like the when I pastored a Carl, and I'm not downing nobody. I'm just the mentality is old school in some ways, is ancient. And they didn't think that nobody needed to come to church if they didn't unless they lived between the green signs. You know, when you're going up Route 20, it says Carl Unincorporated. And then when you get down next to top over the hill in the Green Valley, you know, then it says Green Valley. Between them green signs, that's the only people they thought needed to come to Mountain Baptist Church up there. And I mean, they was glad for anybody to come, but that's who they that was the only ones they was really concerned over. And that's the mentality that I don't want. If that was the case, everybody raise their hand that lives in city limits of Summersville. Raise your hand if you live in the city limits of Summersville. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow. That's how many lives in the city limits of Summersville. 6 people. Now, I want you to think about that. There's 6,000 or so lives in town. What is the population of town, Carl? You know? Ain't it about 6? Some say 3. 2,200. In the city limits? I was counting the ones that got the mail at Summersville. So, all right. We got 6 people out of 2,500 people? Are you listening? Now, I'm glad everybody's coming. I want you to know that we need to be thinking about different things, okay? When we look at this, we need to understand that in some ways, for some people, that times have changed. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, just for a moment. Just read the verse real quick, and then we're going to be going into Luke chapter 16, then back to Genesis, and then we'll go home. But I want you to listen tonight. Listen very carefully. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Got the new guys, young guys up there in the crow's nest tonight. You got the rookies up there. We appreciate them. Appreciate them up there, ready to serve, willing to serve, smiling as they serve. And Wyatt's probably talking all the time he's up there. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, the harvest is past, the summer's ended. We're not saved. When the harvest gets past, that's what it's going to be. The harvest will be past, and time will be no more. People's going to be lost. We need to take some things more serious. You know, I appreciate everybody that's handed out invitations and tracts and everything, and you understand that it takes a lot. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. And I will not ever belittle anything that's done in that way. But can I tell you, somewhere we're going to have to do something individually more than just in a church function. We're going to have to take some things serious in our own life. And we're going to have to look at things and see just how we view a lost soul. We all got friends. We've had people raise their hands so many times. We got family. We got friends. And people that's lost. And can I tell you, I want everybody to look at me tonight. You, only you, you are the only one that's going to be able to reach some people. Nobody else will be able to reach them. It's going to take you. Now, I don't know who that is, but it's going to be you. It may not be who you want, that who's on the top of your list. That might not be who it is. But there's somebody that only you can reach. If you have enough influence that they're watching you and you have enough influence, it may even be just a stranger that you meet one time and God has it ready for you to win that person to the Lord. But I believe with all my heart that there's people that only you can reach. That's why you're here. You understand you're not here to just praise the Lord. You understand that there's multitudes of angels in heaven that say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," at all times. That the praise of God goes through heaven constantly. You know that? So He didn't leave you just to say praise the Lord every now and then. He left you here because the number one priority, is to see people saved. That's the number one priority, is this for people to come to Christ. For that is why Christ died. Oh, precious Lamb, you've got to go and you've got to die. J-Rod just sang it. Huh? You got to go. The second thing, all right, the second thing, I suppose, actually the first priority would be you being saved. All right? People being saved, you being saved. The second priority is you getting somebody saved. All right? And I'm serious about this tonight. I'm wanting us as a church, as individuals, we need to be bringing people to the Lord through the week and walking down the aisle with them on Sunday. And walking and standing with them as they turn around and tell the church that I got saved this week. That's what we need to be working in that direction. We need to be taking it as a personal, our own personal work to try to get somebody saved. It's not enough to get them saved at the jail. I'm tickled to death over the jail ministry. I'm tickled to death that we done had over 40 saved in the jail. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Our people are lost and they're dying. And we need people to come to Christ. Look at Luke chapter 16. Let me give you just a few thoughts that we know this tonight. Won't be much preaching this evening. It's going to be some thoughts. All right? And then we're going to ask some questions. Luke chapter 16. Let's look at verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Can I tell you tonight that the reality of hell, that real people go. Real people go. Real people are going to hell tonight. Real people will go to hell tonight. There will be some people that go to hell tonight. Some went earlier today. Some are going as I speak right now. Some will go before dark. Some will go before midnight. Some will go to hell. Whether it'll be our people or not, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. But there is a reality of hell. Here I read that there is a reality of a certain man. It's real people that go to hell. It's not a story. It's not just an account. It's not just something to fill space in the Bible. But Jesus is preaching that a certain rich man, it was a certain person that died and went to hell. That's the reality. A reality of hell that has real people. Real people. Everybody's not saved. Everybody's not going to heaven. They can, but they're not. He died for them that they all could go, but everybody's not going. Somewhere it's going to be your people. Somewhere you're going to have to stand and say, I'm sorry, but my husband or my wife or my kids, they went to hell. Somewhere you're going to have to understand that that's going to happen, but it might be you that's necessary to take the responsibility. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Can I tell you that hell's a real place, and that there's real people that go to hell, and there's real punishment when they get there? It says that in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Reality of hell tonight is hell is real. That there is a real place. Hell is a real place. We've preached it hundreds of times. Hell is a real place. And hell has real people. And hell has real punishment.
Yes.
The torment is not mentioned because I don't know that it would be understood if it was even described. Heaven is not described, but just can you imagine foundations of every precious stone? I can't imagine what that would look. Can you? Can you imagine a pearl big enough to be a gate? Can you imagine a 216-foot wall of all them precious stones? Can you imagine a 1,500-mile long, wide, tall city full of mansions? I can't even comprehend that. That's whatever. How would we ever comprehend hell? How could we comprehend total darkness? How could we comprehend that? We think the coal mines is total darkness, but I don't think it's darker than that. And everybody ain't been in the coal mines to even understand that. How would we understand? How would we understand a flame that burns but never annihilates? How would we understand a flame that burns and never burns up? I can't comprehend. How can you explain being burned and never burn up?
Right.
How can you explain that? I can't. How can you explain the wailing and the gnashing of teeth? How can you explain the horrors and all that? There's no words that can explain it. But yet it says there's torments. And can I tell you that it's real? It's punishment. It's punishment for rejection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's not punishment for drinking liquor.
No.
It's not punishment for smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco or shooting up drugs. That's not what the punishment's for.
Right.
It's not punishment for idolatry or adultery. That's not what the punishment is for, rejecting Jesus Christ, God's only Son. That's what the punishment is for. That's the only reason people go to hell, is because they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they have to reject Him. It ain't that they never had a chance. They have to reject Him. Can I tell you, well, I mentioned in the prayer room, I think this morning, that we think about our efforts and our conscious efforts of tracts and Bibles and invites and all these things and sermons and lessons and all that's true. We do that work. But can I tell you, we went home and went to bed last night. We quit handing out tracts. We didn't do it all through the night. We started at a certain time. We quit at a certain time. We went home and quit. But yet, God didn't quit. The stars preached the message last night.
That's right.
The stars preached the message this morning. Huh? The wind blew and rustled the leaves and preached the message that there's a God in heaven. Huh? The birds praised the Lord this morning. The bees buzzed and the squirrels barked and the deer snorted. Everything in creation shows that there's a God, and God preaches 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year for all of time.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
But the only reason people go to hell is they reject what God has done. It don't matter whether they're good people or bad people. That has nothing to do with it. It's the rejection of Jesus Christ. So the torments can't even be comprehended. I've been in pain. I've lived in pain. I've had sharp pain, dull pain, long time pain. Huh? Ain't you? Anybody that's had kidney stones has had that's ridiculous pain. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. I can't even describe to you. You know, watermelon wrapped in barbed wire is the best. Trying to go through the small end of the inside of an ink pen. That's to be the best analogy that I would have. 50-pound watermelon wrapped in 5 rolls of barbed wire going through an 1/8-inch tube. That would be going slow. That would be the way I would describe a kidney stone. I've had over 200 of them. Huh? So I know pain, but not like this. They wouldn't be there. No, they're nothing to compare. You understand? And it's real. It's not just a story, but it's a reality. The reality of hell, the real place, the real people, the real punishment. But of all of that, as I preach many times, look at verse 27. Well, we don't want to miss. Let's read it all. Let's look at verse 25. And Abraham said, "Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is covered, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." There's no escape. Is that not reality? That there's no escape? They're not going. They don't get to leave the punishment. That the punishment only gets worse when death and hell is cast in the lake of fire, and it goes from the county lockup to the federal pen. Are you understanding? I mean, these are real, and we know these things tonight. I'm not telling you nothing we don't know. I'm reminding you because of the work that's been done and the effort that's been done. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to lose sight of Harvest Sunday or Harvest Days or the harvest that's to come.
Right.
I don't want you to lose sight of that because they're people. It's not paper. It's people. We give out paper to people. You understand? It was not an event. We didn't have an event yesterday. We dealt with people. We didn't have an event Friday. We dealt with people. We dealt with our friends. Huh? I dealt with friends yesterday, Friday. I give papers to friends. I've sent them all week. I've sent papers to friends. Give paper to friends, family. Huh? People I know well. People I know as good as I know myself. I send them papers. Send them invites. The plan is, me and Brother Rick was standing there, and Clark, we stand there, and we watched Matt, we give them a paper, and they stopped in their tracks and read it. They didn't jam it in their pocket. Some of them took it and read it, and they turned over and they would stand there for a little bit and read the entire. I know they read the gospel yesterday and Friday. They read the gospel. People, Brother Rick even testified that told about it was that he said, he just told us in the prayer room where it was in Sunday school that he sat down beside someone that told him that we ought to be praying about the things, the shape the world's in, as lost as can be.
Yeah.
Try to convince him of Christ and he wouldn't listen. Ain't that sad? But yet people don't understand that when they go to hell, they can't get out. There's no getting out. All right? But let's look at verse 27. Then he said, this is the rich man speaking. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. See, I see not only the reality of hell itself and the reality that it's real people and it's a real place, real people, real punishment, huh? It's also a real plea. It's a real plea that there are people in hell wants us to go, wants somebody to go, wants somebody to go. For I have five brethren. I wonder if he was the oldest. I wonder if he was the oldest brother. Don't say. I wonder if he was the youngest. I don't say. Don't say where he was in line. It just says he had five or six boys. I wonder if there's any girls. There were six boys in a family. I think about that. But here's something that's sad that we don't realize. Abraham, verse 29 says, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, we've told you all this. You already know all this. We ain't told you nothing you didn't know. But now I just want to ask you a question. Now, the rich man's brothers had Moses and the prophets. Can you see that? Is that what it says? Who do they have today? Who do they have today? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? How personal are we going to get with it? How personal are we going to get with it? We pray for the lost. We pray, God save the lost. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. God save the lost. That's a good prayer. Then we pray for people. God save the people we witness to. Then God save my family. And then at times we'll call out all the names and individuals, but that's praying. But what who's going to tell them? See, it says here, verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. That thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Is that what it says? And then say that they'd go to the temple and pray. Then say that they'd send him a letter. Said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. That he may testify unto them. That he may testify unto them. At their house. Lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said to them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. Everybody follow me? But who's going to go? I thought of this message this morning during Sunday school. As Brother Rick was teaching, and we read some verses this morning. We're going to go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 43. When I read these verses, I had it marked in my Bible. When I read these verses, I had to write some other things beside the verse. Something come to me there this morning and reminded me how responsible that I am personally personally for the people that I know that are lost. For the people that are lost. And then the ones that I don't know is lost, I need to ask them for lost. Look in Genesis chapter 43. We know the story, Brother Hickman teaches it very well. Very, very thorough in Sunday school. We know the story that Benjamin is wanted in Egypt. That Joseph is wanting, he's wanting to see all the family. And Benjamin is precious. He's precious. Look in Genesis chapter 43, verse 9. And Judah is the one who's talking to his dad and said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shall thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. We read that this morning. Remember reading that, Brother Rick? You read that this morning. I read that and I wrote beside it in my Bible. I wrote a soul winner's heart. That's what I wrote beside it. A soul winner's heart. That I will be surety for him. And I looked up the word surety. And you know what the word surety means. You know, it's the ransom money. It's the payment. It's the responsibility of another. And Judah said, I personally will become surety for Benjamin. That I'm the one that's going to be responsible for making sure he gets back. If I don't get it done, then I'll bear the blame forever. That I'm going to be the surety. And I wonder, if you want a title tonight, it's really now we get to the message, it's really, who do they have today? Do they have any surety? There's the people that's lost, all the people that we handed out papers to, all of our family, all the ones we contacted, all the ones we texted, all the ones we took the picture of the little hickey dooger there and sent them text messages and messengers. And they was more than 2,000 invites given out. More than that with all the ones we individually done with that. But I wonder who is any of us going to be surety. Do we have anybody tonight that's going to be surety for a lost person? Is there anybody that you love enough, that is lost enough in your mind and in your heart, that you're going to become surety for them and tell the Father that I'm responsible and I'll bring him to you? If not, let me bear the blame forever. Does the people that's lost have any surety? We got churches all over the place. We got churches we have Baptist churches. They're having church Sunday morning, Wednesday, Sunday night. But is there any sureties in them places? Is there any sureties at Mountain State that we're going to get the number, get the name, get the one, and I'm going to be responsible? I am going to be responsible. I'm going to be the surety. See, they're crying out of hell for somebody to go to the house and testify.
Right. That's right.
What hell's saying? That's what hell's asking. Huh? Riley, how many visits did Spurlock make to your place? Well, how many was it?
Ten times.
10 times he come hunting you. 10 times. Finally found you, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Lord finally did too, but Spurlock come 10 times. Huh? He felt responsible, didn't he? Undoubtedly he felt responsible because he wasn't gonna let you go to hell. Huh? Wasn't gonna let you. How many people have you went to 10 times begging them to Christ? How many times have you went? I mean, are we willing to be surety? See, I don't know that we get a handle of it. Listen to me. I know everybody here wants our people saved. Sure they do. Everybody here wants to see them saved so they don't go to hell. Sure, I know that. Nobody wants anybody to go to hell. I know that. I know that. But are you willing to be surety? Are you willing to be surety? Do we have a soul winner's heart? Turn over to chapter 44. Turn over to chapter 44 and see if we have a soul winner's burden. Soul winner's heart and a soul winner's burden. How about 44? Let's look at verse 32. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. Let the lad go up with his brethren. Look at verse 34. This is a soul winner's burden. How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. When people come to Christ, they come to Christ that the lamb that was slain might receive glory for his suffering. It's not that we can say, look how many we've won. Not that we can say, oh, look what all I've done, but no. How are we going to be able to go to the Father and the lad be not with us? That's a soul winner's burden. A soul winner's heart is, I'm going to take the responsibility. I'm going to be the surety. That I'm not playing no more games, and I'm going to be the surety. I think of Naaman Moore and Cliff Morse down at Doniger. Cliff Morse lived beside Naaman for years and years. And Naaman worked years, getting Cliff saved. I mean, to the point that Cliff would get mad at him. Cliff told me this as a lost man. He said, I asked Cliff, I said, you kill any deer, can kill no deer around Naaman Moore. I said, what's Naaman got to do with you killing deer? All he does is pray. I said, what do you mean? He said, he hunts up a holler for me, and all I hear all morning is praying. I said, what's he praying for me? Pray for me. What'd he say? I said, is that all he does? He said, no, he can't sleep around Naaman. I said, what do you mean he can't sleep? He said, he gets by my window outside. And he prays. And I can't sleep because Naaman's outside my house praying for me. That's Junior back there. Junior used to go down there, live down there in Doniger and go to church. And Cliff come to church every time he could. Naaman dragged him to every revival. I preached revival all up Bell Creek and Doniger and Hoarder's Fork and Vaughn and all down through there. And here come Naaman and Cliff. Go by and give him, going to church. Here Mark. Going to church. Here Mark. Going to church. Here Mark. Cliff got on her, bawled his eyes out. Won't you get saved, Cliff? Just stupid again. Just stupid. Just all he say. Naaman weep and cry and beg him, weep and cry and beg him. But Naaman felt responsible. Finally, old Cliff is in the hospital. He calls Naaman on the phone. Says, Naaman, need you. Naaman said, I'll get there as soon as I can. Naaman got down there and he said, you are. He said, I got saved. Naaman got saved. He said, he got under the bed in the hospital. He crawled under the bed in the hospital trying to get away from God. Got saved down there in the hospital. I preached his funeral. I was able to preach Cliff's funeral. But Naaman Moore becomes surety for Cliff Moore. We got anybody here tonight? Don't want you to come to the altar. Don't want you. You don't need to come to the altar. I wonder how many will just go ahead and say, I'm going to be surety. I'm going to be surety. And you pick the one. You pick the one. Is it your son? Is it your daughter? Is it your grandson? How long do we do these things? How long do we hang in there? How long do we warn? What's the time limit? Huh? How about Acts chapter 20? We read it the other night. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Do they have anybody? See, the question was, who do they have now? Who do they have now? How long ago since Zach got saved, Jennifer? How many years? 2005. All right, 2005. The other night I was talking about soul winning and winning people to the Lord. I didn't talk about the telephone, people saved on telephone, like Zach was. Zach gave me this. I don't know if he remembers. Zach gave me this, I reckon, right after he got saved. And I thought about it this afternoon. I found it. Won't you listen carefully? Listen carefully. There were two boys, Zach and Josh. I thought of Groundhog and Zach. There are two boys, Zach and Josh, who grew up together, did everything together, school, sports. Then one night they were in a wreck. Josh was killed. And there was a letter on the table for Zach when he got home from the emergency room. No stamp or postmark, but a handwriting he well knew. It was a letter from Josh. This is how it read. Letter from hell. Hey, Zach. I died tonight. It was different than I thought it would be. I always figured it'd be foggy or hazy. You're just dreaming, but it's crystal clear. It's even more real than life was, man. I can talk, I can hear, I can feel. Right after the wreck, I could feel my spirit leave my body. I thought I even heard you screaming my name. But I guess I was hearing things. At first, it was like I was in a big line of people. Restoring, I guess. Then I stood before a throne, and this big angel, I suppose, is what he was, stood next to me, and they looked in a big book and said my name wasn't there. Was not to be found. They started dragging me away, and all I could hear was screaming and moaning. Man, this is scary. They told me I was condemned to the lake of fire forever. There were so many. It was like I had to wait. As I was waiting, I got to thinking. Think about you, Zach. You're a Christian. Why didn't you tell me about all this, especially about Jesus? Hey, man, it came up three different times today. Kelly said something, and you just laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. Then right before the wreck, it came up again. I thought you were my friend. Why didn't you ever tell me how to become a Christian? Oh, no, here they are. They're dragging me away. I am so scared. I smell the smoke. I feel the heat. There's no hope for me now, Zach. Goodbye forever. I wish you'd have told me. Your friend, Josh. P.S. Wish you were here. Now, I know that didn't happen. I thought, though, ain't it? It's a thought, though. I wonder tonight, somewhere in your being, in your life, in your heart, in your mind, that you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. how serious it is to you. So I preached to you for 21 years, and it ain't the preaching that changes. We've had preachers preach here. Some of the greatest preachers, as far as I'm concerned, ever preached out of this pulpit. It's going to have to be a decision that you make yourself. But the question comes out of hell. You know, send, will you send somebody to my brethren? Mm-hmm. And they said, no. They'll have to hear who they got. They'll have to hear who they got. I ain't going to send nobody special. They're going to have to hear who they got. Can I tell you that we're all they got?
Yeah.
We're all they got. See, Billy Graham ain't going to come through Summersville. He's dead. He ain't going to come through and have a 16-week visitation program every day and every night with a crew of people and get all the churches together and have a big conference, have a big meeting, and then preach and see thousands say, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. They're all them old men, all them old men, they're gone. See, we got one of the greatest evangelists preaching today to come for 3 nights up here in Summersville. We sent everybody in 3 counties invitations. And what we have, we had 7 saved. 7 1,000. And a couple of them are here. Jeremy and Sammy. See, that ain't going to happen. See, it ain't going to be the thousands saved. We're not going to have a mighty revival where all of Nicholas County gets saved. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not praying that it happens. I'm not praying that we have a revival that 24,000 people get saved. That would be a foolish prayer. When we can go get them one at a time. When we can get 100 a week. There's 266 people here today. 266 people today. Could we get 266 a year? If that would be the case, what's going to take us? It still take us, what, 20 years? 10 years? 10 years? I don't know how it adds up. I'd have to sit down. It'd be 10 years. Well, let's pray the Lord gives us 10 years and let's get everybody saved. My point only tonight is this. We're not going to sing an invitation. I'm going to pray and we're going to go home. I just want you to study about whether or not you're willing to be the surety. If you're willing to be the one that they have today. Now, in that day for the rich man, they said they have Moses and the prophets. Well, Moses and the prophets are gone. Now, I know some people say, well, he was meaning the scriptures. I don't know that. It may have been the first 5 books of the Bible. It may have been that he had Moses and the prophets, but you know, it would have been, well, all this wasn't written. I don't know when Jesus is talking about this. I don't know. So I'm going to take it as people. And I'm going to ask you tonight, and I'm asking me tonight, how many, who is going to become surety? For how shall I go to the Father, and the lad be not with me? How shall I go to the Father, and the lad be not with me? How can I stand at the judgment seat of Christ knowing that I was not surety for nobody? Father, only you can speak to our heart. Only you can draw us to a place to where we become surety for our people. Lord, you've burdened my heart for months and months about loss, but I don't know that I've took it as serious as I have today. Watch lost people walk out this morning. Oh God, I pray for mercy for our people. I pray for mercy on our church. And Lord, I pray for a soul winner's heart and a soul winner's burden. That I will become surety for the lad. For how shall I come to you and the lad be not with me? And we're going to thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you tomorrow night.